Then taking the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus raised his eyes to heaven, pronounced a blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to his disciples for distribution to the crowd. This passage from Scripture is the basis for the mystery we celebrate today, for we know, because faith teaches us, that our Lord was alluding to a greater mystery. Indeed, it is the mystery of mysteries, the mystery of the church, or as many have described it in the life of the church, the mystery of our faith. And of course, we are talking about the solemnity of the Corpus Christi, which is intimately rooted in that mystery of our faith, the Eucharistic mystery, the presence of our Lord amongst us, his sacramental presence, until the end of time. And so we have much to reflect upon in today's gospel and in today's mystery, for this mystery is the basis of all mysteries of our faith. Indeed, if we are to truly understand what ecumenism is, we cannot do so outside of this mystery. All the labors of the church, whether they be the spiritual or the corporal works of mystery, are intended in order that mankind may come to know this mystery, may come to believe this mystery, and may come to embrace it with all their heart and all their soul, because it is the mystery that is the very basis of our hope in this life. And so we confront and we ponder that mystery of our Lord's presence. And when we speak of our Lord's presence in the mystery of the Blessed Eucharist, of course, as the saints point out to us, we are speaking of a spiritual mystery, but often in this day and age, we do not understand the meaning of the word spiritually present, and so we embrace some form of error, particularly regarding this mystery. For in the mystery of the Eucharist, we are confronted with a concrete reality that Jesus Christ is truly present, and he will be present with us in this mystery until the end of time, as he was present to the apostles at the beginning of his earthly existence. And so this mystery is rooted in all the mysteries of our faith. Indeed, the doctrine of the co-redemption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is rooted in this mystery, because at the foot of the cross, Mary participates in the Eucharistic mystery, that is, the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, perpetuated until the end of time in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the same mystery, it is the same sacrifice of Christ presented in an unbloody fashion. And so we do not, when we speak of the spiritual presence of our Lord, we do not mean to connote a mere name or a mere manner or mode of speech as if he were really absent. But by way of expressing that Christ, who is present in this mystery, can neither be seen nor heard. And so it is in this mystery that we truly exercise the highest degree of faith. For we cannot discern his presence by the use of our 5 senses. It is only, as it were, a gratuitous gift given to us by Almighty God. And faith is greatest when one believes in the doctrine of the Eucharist, which states that by the marvelous conversion of the whole substance of bread into the body of Jesus Christ, and that of the whole substance of wine into his precious blood, is contained truly, really, and substantially the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ under the appearance of bread and wine, and bread and wine as our spiritual food. And so Christ intends to nourish every man through this Eucharistic mystery, because Christ came in order to elevate us above the order of sin into the life of grace, and ultimately to be united with him in heaven. And so we must proceed in this life making that profound act of faith, that faith that St. Thomas and all the saints reflected upon. And indeed, St. Thomas Aquinas would have a little bit of fun with St. Thomas the Apostle, because we know our Lord spoke to St. Thomas the Apostle and told him that blessed are they who have not seen and believed. And St. Thomas, as it were, points out that each and every one of us, after the incarnation, after the resurrection, each of us have that opportunity to exercise faith to the highest degree, in the highest manner, and it is exercised in its highest form when a human person looks upon the bread and wine and declares no longer them to be present, but that the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ is present in this sacrament. And so It is this sacrament. In this sacrament, all we really need to know is that Christ is given to us, for it is a mystery beyond our comprehension and beyond our ability to ponder and to understand fully in this life. It is a mystery that will be revealed in its fullness in the life to come, but we know it is the mystery of Christ's victory over sin and his attempt to try to communicate that life above sin to each and every human person. And in the perpetuation of the holy sacrifice of the Mass is fulfilled our Lord's promise to the blessed apostles, whom he clearly instructed that greater miracles than those you will see. Indeed, our Lord was referring to the miracle of his changing the fish and the loaves into enough food to feed the crowd and all the other miracles that our Lord worked. And yet, despite the fact that we know our Lord was constantly operating miracles, indeed raising souls from the dead, he nonetheless promised the apostles that greater miracles of these would be worked. What is the greater miracle that is worked through the apostles and through the church until the end of time? It is the miracle of the changing of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, for it is the miracle of miracles. And often we go about groping to find the latest apparition of the Mother of God, seeking, as it were, all kinds of signs and wonders, and yet we have the greatest of all miracles, the greatest sign and the greatest wonder perpetuated each and every day of our lives in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and that is what made the saints saints. They were firmly rooted on the belief that Jesus Christ is present in this sacrament, and so they had nothing to fear as long as they would turn to him with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul, believing that he is truly present and with us until the end of time. When we look about on our modern society, we see very clearly that mankind has a longing for happiness, but we see that all too often that longing is fulfilled and sought out in sinful pursuits and in sinful pleasures. And yet, we must, in the face of this evil, in the face of this wickedness, we must turn to him and constantly beseech him in our day and in our age, and most particularly in our holy communions, that he give the world a longing, that is, a hope for something greater than happiness in this life, for him as we have that earnest hope fulfilled in this sacrament. For we attain ultimately in this sacrament what we seek, union with God. There is only one thing lacking in our communions with Jesus Christ in this blessed sacrament. We do not see him face to face as we will in the beatific vision. But in reflecting upon this mystery, St. Bonaventure would point out that in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and in the communion of the faithful with Christ in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it is not so much that Christ descends to the altar, but rather that mankind is literally lifted into heaven. And St. Bonaventure points out that when we receive Christ worthily in the Blessed Sacrament, we literally have placed one foot in heaven. And indeed, St. Francis would say that if any man had ever beheld the bread and wine and declared his senses to be deceived, but that Christ was truly present, St. Francis reflected that if that man abandons that faith, abandons that doctrine, and does not return to it at the end of his life, he will perish in his sin. And so we are confronted with the love of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, that love that he wishes to communicate to each and every soul present in this world from the beginning of creation until the end of time. For it is the life of grace that is really what mankind aspires. St. Bonaventure says that mankind by his very nature, a human being by his very nature, has a longing for a supernatural union. It is what separates us from the beast of the field and the birds in the sky and the fishes in the ocean, that we have a longing for something beyond this life. Even though we are finite creatures, it is the human soul alone that has a longing that can only be fulfilled in the life to come, an eternal longing for union with the divine. That longing is fulfilled in this life in our holy communions, and if we participate worthily in that union, then we will be united with him for all eternity in the life to come. The world needs a new thirst. The world needs a thirst for his presence. It needs, as it were, a holy anxiety for him. For it is only in longing for him that we can truly attain our happiness. It is only in longing for him that we can attain all the heights that God intended mankind from the very beginning to attain. And so we reflect upon the fact that blessed are we that have not seen and have believed. The very reward is in the believing, that what we, as it were, could participate in is truly Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament. When we, as it were, believe this, the very reward is given to us, and our believing in grace is communicated through the members of the mystical body to mankind at large. And so, let us reflect that in this Blessed Sacrament, we enjoy and contemplate the mystery that does not even enter into the thought of the majority of mankind, but it has been entrusted to us to bring that mystery to the whole of humanity. We are more blessed than others, not in the sense that we have anything greater than them, but only by the gratuitous gift of Almighty God, who has incorporated us into his mystical body. And we are blessed above them, not in order to ridicule or to put them down, but it has been granted to us to have the privilege of being instruments in the hands of the Mother of God to bring all humanity to that same faith, that same communion with her Son in the Most Holy Eucharist. Many of the saints have pointed out that after our Lord ascended into heaven, the Mother of God spent all those years on earth strengthening the apostles and the members of the mystical body in the life of the Eucharist. The communion of the soul with Christ in this earth, indeed, the highest form of worship that can be accomplished in this world. And indeed, Pope St. Pius X and many who preceded him and have come after him have pointed out that the whole basis of society is that society be ordered in a way in which a family may participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass every day of their life. It is not that a person must be compelled, for Christ compels no one. He simply offers himself on Calvary and lets the offering, the sacrifice of love, speak for itself, and wishes to draw us by an act of our own will to that same sacrifice. But ultimately, all of society must be constructed in order that if a man chooses to bring his family to the holy sacrifice of the Mass each and every day of his life, he has the opportunity to do so, not by compulsion, but that society is ordered in a supernatural way. Indeed, Pope St. Pius X, in his first encyclical letter, called for the renewal of all things in Jesus Christ. How is this renewal accomplished? This renewal of all things in Christ is accomplished when society becomes a Eucharistic society, when society at large, as it were, comes to belief in the presence of Christ now and until the end of time in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And indeed, that Eucharistic society is Holy Mother Church, and it is, and she is present in this world in order to convert all of society to that same belief, that is, incorporation of all men into the mystical body of Christ, and hence into the Eucharistic life, the life alone in which we truly have our hope. For if we are to be true citizens of our nation, we must first and foremost aspire for union, union with God in heaven. If we aspire for that, then we are necessarily good citizens of our nation and good citizens of heaven, because we work each and every moment of our life to strive to bring all souls to that same belief that we are in possession of as being members of the mystical body of Christ. We do not declare with the Protestants that Christ, that there is a consubstantial presence, that bread and wine are both present along with Christ, but it is an understanding in which Christ is only present in the heart and mind of the believer. That is not the reality we are confronted with, for it is an objective reality and it has nothing to do with our opinions. Christ is present, bread and wine are annihilated. They only appear to be there, but their very substance has been changed into the same Christ whom the blessed apostles behold, the same Christ whose foot they sat at and were instructed in the divine and saving doctrines. Ultimately, every mankind is confronted with the reality that Christ has come and offered himself for the salvation of the world, and we must cooperate in that offering, in that sacrifice, if we too are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And so ultimately, all mankind has been called to be united with Christ by incorporation into the mystical body, which is alone the true possessor of all that is true and all that is good, because she and she alone is the possessor of Jesus Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament. She and she alone has been entrusted by Almighty God to bring all the sacraments to the world. And so ultimately, she has the right, not as it were in the sense of a political right, but she has the right to inform all societies and all men what they must do in order to save their souls. And if societies disregard the advice of Holy Mother Church, they devolve into what they have become, a maddening pursuit for pleasure and a place of sin in which violence is now being perpetrated upon humanity at an alarming rate, and indeed so alarming that more souls have been destroyed through the war on the unborn than all souls have been murdered or have been killed in all the previous wars that have afflicted mankind until the beginning of the 20th century. We live in the worst of times, but we live in the greatest of times. For all times are great for those who believe that Jesus Christ is truly present. And all those who believe that know that they have in him the power to overcome the evil, to drive Satan and his influence away from society in order that Christ the King may take up his rightful abode over society. That conquest that he has, as St. Thomas and St. Bonaventure pointed out, a twofold right. He has the right to reign over mankind because he is God. It is called a divine right. But as they point out, he has another right by which to reign over us, that is the right of love, or, as the saints pointed out, the right of conquest, in which he and he alone, in cooperation with his mother, in cooperation with him, have conquered all sin and all evil until the end of time in the sacrifice of Calvary. And it is that conquest that is in the order of love that we are all called to participate in this mystery of his presence. It is the final humiliation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the reason he offered his sacred humanity on Calvary for the salvation of the world in order to establish his presence in the Blessed Sacrament, that presence which is now by the majority of mankind ignored and disregarded. Indeed, today in New Bedford will be a procession, the Corpus Christi procession, and often it is not well attended, it is not well participated in, and in oftentimes there are blasphemies spouted. But the Lord, as it were, does not hide. He will go forth, and he will try through love to overcome the blasphemers, whether they be in the streets of New Bedford or any other city, whether they be in White Houses or Kremlins. He will strive with every fiber of his sacred humanity to overcome sinful mankind, drawing them always by the strings of his love manifested in that greatest of all sacrifices, that greatest of all sacraments. Because Christ was innocent, he gained nothing by his offering. He was God, completely happy from all eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Nothing was added to him, nothing was diminished from him in the incarnation. We are the benefactors. We and we alone are the benefactors of that act of love. Or as the founder of our institutes pointed out, there is a mystery we are confronted with that we will only understand in heaven, but that it seems through this mystery of Christ's presence in the Eucharist, and indeed through Scripture, that Christ, God, seems to have conditioned his happiness on our response to his love. For Scripture points out he longed to tabernacle with mankind, that is, to pitch his tent. In the Eucharist, the tent is pitched until the end of time. Will we enter into it and there be safe and guarded from the evils of this world, or will we remain hanging outside, walking away from the tent which alone can bring happiness, the tent which alone can bring salvation to mankind? Ultimately, all of us, if we are to save our souls, must come to a belief that God is one and God is three, that he rewards the good and punishes the evil, and that we must also believe in the incarnation, passion, and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are what St. Alphonsus de Liguori calls the necessity of means. Every soul must believe them in order to save their souls. And so let us have no more of ecumenia that would postulate that there is some other reason for the ecumenical activity of the Church, the apostolic labors of the Church, other than to bring every soul to belief that Jesus Christ is present and that only in him do we have hope in salvation? Pope Pius XII pointed out that when at the Lambeth Conference, the Anglican Order embraced the practice of contraception, he pointed out, institutionally, there is no form of Christianity left save the Catholic Church. He made an important distinction, and in that distinction, we learn a truth, that no institution outside of the Catholic Church has any saving doctrine except that truth which God always preserves in even the most depraved of cultures. But that truth is mediated to those cultures in a mysterious way through the mystical body of Christ. Every good action a man performs, whether he is a member of the mystical body of Christ or not, is mediated to him through the mystical body. If someone will not take the Quran to its logical conclusion, it is only because they are unwilling to violate the natural law, which is the law of Christ, written on the heart of every man, woman, and child. And that grace is given through the church. It is a mystery reflected upon in the first flood, when the dove precedes the ark, that is, the Blessed Mother, in a mysterious way, precedes the church, preparing souls for the coming of the church, and that mystery will be perpetuated until the end of time. It is our mission to bring the church to every nook and cranny of this world so that we may all be incorporated into the institution of charity and hence help each other, working out our salvation in fear and trembling. That work, that cooperation, is rooted in our belief that he is present with us until the end of time, marching before us, marching behind us, marching to our left and to our right, as St. Patrick pointed out in his Lorikai. Christ be above me, Christ below me. Christ around me, Christ surround me. Christ, Christ, Christ. Let us, as it were, die with the words of Blessed Miguel Pro. Long live Christ the King, who reigns in his Eucharistic presence and who has the right, both the divine and the right of conquest, to rule over each society. Every form of government can ultimately work, but it can only work insofar as we declare first and foremost a belief in the Blessed Trinity, and that no matter what we say, it is not we the people who determine the rights of God. God has those rights because he is God. And so there is a fundamental flaw on the very basis of our culture. It is not to mankind to ascribe rights to God. God simply has them by who he is, by his very nature. And we must humbly submit and truly believe that the primary reason for the ability to bend our knees is to bend them in homage to him who is our Lord and our Savior, and who wishes to rule over us by the love that he has manifested in this most august and blessed of sacraments. Indeed, the whole sacramental life is incorporation into the Eucharistic mystery. That is why the traditional listings of the sacraments always puts the Eucharist in the middle, not simply because it is fourth in order, but all the sacraments point to it. And so all things point to Christ crucified. Everyone is judged according to how they respond to the sacrifice of the Savior. Abraham, David, and all the patriarchs and prophets of old were justified by their belief in what was to come, the sacrifice of the Messiah for the sake of mankind. And after that sacrifice, all societies will be judged according to how they have responded. Once Christ comes into the world, there is no longer an excuse for devolving into paganism, and that is ultimately what is confronting modern society. A full-blown pursuit into the most violent form of paganism, because there is no ignorance any longer. Christ has come, and we will be judged according to our response to what he has done for us. And so let us, strengthened by this most august sacrament, go forth knowing that we are called to conquer all kingdoms and all worlds for the kingdom of Christ, so that all of us may be united with him for all eternity, praising him and blessing him for all that he has done for us and all that he will continue to do for us until the end of time. And let us always remind ourselves of those words of that blessed apostle Saint Paul: "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." We love God when we believe and respond to his presence among us until the end of time, and work with every fiber of our being for the conversion of all the world to his kingdom on earth, the Catholic Church. All persons are called to incorporation, and insofar as a man is saved, he is saved by the belief he will express. We do not, as it were, postulate or deny the doctrine, as it were, that others outside of the church, the visible church in this life, may save their soul. But ultimately, when the question is asked, are there any Catholics in heaven, the answer is no. For what God has to do in the agonies of death is a mystery. But ultimately, that person, even if it be on that deathbed, must come to believe those four things that are necessary for salvation. And that ultimately believes means that they must come to believe that Jesus Christ is present in the Eucharist. That grace, that mercy is won for souls through our cooperation. Saint Francis used to remind the brothers constantly, "If souls are perishing, brothers, look no further than your nose. For it is our lack of response, our lack of faith, that is causing the destruction of souls." And so we must constantly strive, knowing we are weak, knowing we are failing. We must constantly strive each and every moment of our lives and our days to thank the Lord for all the graces he has given us each and every day, and to recognize that even in the greatest of days, we have failed to respond to all the graces he has given us, and beseech him in the evening to please help us serve him better the following day, thanking him for what we have responded to, but recognizing, even though we have not responded fully, we still have time. Scripture says, the just man falls 7 times a day. That is the saint. It does not mean into mortal sin. It means even venial faults and failings. So we never have time to rest in this life. But we do have time to rest in the Eucharist. For it is in the Eucharist that we overcome our weaknesses. We do not come to him as a reward for our holiness. We come to him because he is the author of holiness, and we cannot attain it without communion with him. We come to him because we are weak, because we need his strength, and he communicates that to us in a mysterious sacramental way in all the sacraments of the church, most particularly the sacrament of his body, blood, soul, and divinity, present with us until the end of time. And so let us go forward knowing with St. Patrick and all the blessed saints that he truly is with us, above us, below us, to our right, to our left, in front of us, in back of us, and that it is most particularly true in this most august of sacraments. Long live Christ the King. Long may his Eucharistic reign be extended to every corner of the earth, so that we may all join his Blessed Mother, praising him for what he has done for us.